This is the eHealth Radio Network, your source for health advice on demand. And now your host, Eric Michaels.
This is Eric Michaels, and once again, you have tuned into the eHealth Radio Network and the Cancer Prevention Channel. Make sure you connect with us on Facebook to receive the latest programming for your convenience, simply at eHealth Radio. Today, we are once again with Dr. Deanne Radford, a breast surgical oncologist with Mercy Clinic St. Louis Cancer and Breast Institute. Dr. Radford specializes in benign breast diseases and breast cancer. Dr. Radford, certainly a pleasure to have you back with us here on eHealth Radio.
Oh, I'm delighted to be here, Eric.
Likewise. So I see from your bio that you are currently a fellow in integrative medicine with the University of Arizona. Can you explain integrative medicine and its application in your practice?
I'd be delighted to. I specialize in breast diseases, and the concept of integrative medicine is the combination of complementary medicine with conventional medicine in an evidence-based setting. The University of Arizona, Arizona Center for Integrative Medicine, has a fellowship program in integrative medicine, which was founded by Dr. Andrew Weil. And I have been a fellow in that program for a year now and have learned a number of aspects of healthcare that I can incorporate into my practice as a breast surgeon. It's not only healing the body, but this is mind-body-spirit medicine. And it includes a number of features such as recommending the anti-inflammatory diet. We know a number of diseases are related to chronic inflammation, and that some foods that we eat are pro-inflammatory rather than anti-inflammatory. The program also teaches us about the importance of sleep to overall health. Insomnia is a huge problem in this country. And I can use some simple breathing techniques to help patients in the office, for example, to relieve stress. One of the breathing techniques that Dr. Weil teaches is called the 4-7-8 breath relaxation exercise. And it involves a ratio of breathing in for a count of four, holding the breath then for a count of seven, and then completely exhaling through the mouth for a count of eight. And that exercise performed four times in the morning and four times in the evening is a great stress reducer in this very hectic world in which we live now.
What would be the major features of the anti-inflammatory diet, speaking of that?
Well, the anti-inflammatory pyramid has at its base vegetables and fruits. And I say vegetables and fruits rather than fruits and vegetables because fruits tend to have a higher glycemic index. And when we're talking about vegetables, we want to eat the entire rainbow spectrum of color. Peppers, cruciferous vegetables, red cabbage, etc. And at the top of the pyramid, we are allowed a small amount of healthy sweets, such as plain dark chocolate, for example. It's emphasized in the pyramid that the grains that we eat should be whole grains. And by that, I mean foods that have grains where you can actually see the grains. Our protein sources, it's recommended to be mainly fish and other seafood rather than other animal proteins. And we want to look at fish that have a high omega-3 fatty acid content. We know that inflammation is related to the proportion of omega-3 fatty acids to omega-6 and omega-9 fatty acids in the diet. And fish that contain a higher proportion of omega-3 fatty acids would be, for example, wild Alaskan salmon, Alaskan black cod, sardines, etc. Whole soy foods are incorporated in the diet. It's recommended that these be organic, since a lot of the soy available now is GMO, genetically modified soy. So organic soy would be preferable. And when we're spicing our food, rather than using salt, use healthy herbs and spices such as garlic, ginger, turmeric, cinnamon, which have anti-inflammatory properties. Ginger, for example, is a very potent anti-inflammatory agent. There is a small amount of alcohol allowed in the diet. The preferred red wine rather than beer. Red wine, again, has anti-inflammatory properties, but of course this should be in moderation. We do know that any alcohol does increase breast cancer risk, but we also know that red wine has properties that reduce the risk of cardiac disease. So certainly a couple of glasses of red wine a week would be reasonable in this diet, but no excess. And I think relatively easy to change the proportion of foods in the diet to incorporate these anti-inflammatory foods and still have very appetizing meals.
Now, you also mentioned insomnia is a common problem. What can you tell our listeners about sleep hygiene in this area?
You know, insomnia affects about 70 million people in the United States these days. So very, very common, and a problem that many of my patients will mention to me in the course of an office visit. One of our faculty members at the University of Arizona, Dr. Ruben Naiman, is a sleep specialist, and he describes seven strategies for serene sleep. And it starts with having a ritual for the rhythms of activity and rest, such as developing a soothing evening ritual as a bridge to sleep. And that might be, for some people, a warm bath, or it may be having a soothing cup of chamomile tea before they go to bed. We have to recognize the importance of dusk and darkness as sleep medicine. Our brains are developed in a way that we associate dusk with a time to think about going to sleep. And that recognition of dusk is inhibited these days with all the light around us, like artificial light, computer screen light, lights from our phones, lights from our iPads. And that exposure to light can inhibit our brain's ability to go to sleep. So one would certainly want to minimize using the computer for the hour before going to bed, for example. Melatonin can also help with that, a melatonin supplement, 2 to 3 milligrams taken about an hour before going to bed can help the brain recognize that it's time to go to sleep. You want to avoid body noise, such as counterfeit energies, you know, caffeine, sugary foods, which can stimulate the brain rather than letting it go to sleep. Exercise last time at night can promote adrenaline, which can inhibit sleep. In support to keep the bedroom as a sleep sanctuary, so that it's dark, again, without exposure to a lot of light, and more a place that's associated with rest. One has to feel psychologically safe in the bedroom, too. Learning to surrender to sleep is important, meaning just letting your body let go of waking rather than thinking about going to sleep. I mean, the body has these rhythms of sleep and wakefulness, so sleep can be regarded as more of letting go of that wakeful state. And one shouldn't battle nighttime wakefulness. If one can't fall asleep within 20 minutes or so, get up, meditate, pray, give the brain a chance to slow down. And then when we get up in the morning, it's important to have some exposure to early morning light. That would be an ideal time to go for a short walk. Use those breathing exercises throughout the day that can help energize the brain during wakefulness, and then get the brain prepared for sleep at night. So you can set conscious intentions to guide you through the waking day. So if we are aware of sleep as an important part of health, then I think we can all develop these strategies for a more serene and restful sleep.
Today we are with, once again, Dr. Deanne Radford, who is a breast surgical oncologist with Mercy Clinic St. Louis Cancer and Breast Institute. She specializes in breast cancer and benign breast diseases, and joined us once again here on eHealth Radio's Cancer Prevention Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. Now, you are also a proponent of rehabilitation following breast cancer treatment. So what side effects of breast cancer treatment can rehab help?
You know, it's estimated that there are about 12 million cancer survivors living in the United States right now. And many of those survivors are suffering from the side effects of the treatment that we provide, whether it be side effects of surgery or side effects of chemo or radiation. A couple of very common effects of cancer treatment would be fatigue and pain. And the Institute of Medicine recognizes survivorship as a phase of cancer care. So the whole point around rehab is to recognize that we want survivors to return to their previous normal rather than accepting a new normal of that includes pain and fatigue. Around the country, there are specialized cancer rehabilitation departments that can address those issues. An important way of combating fatigue, for example, either during or after breast cancer or any other cancer treatment, would be an exercise regimen. And physical therapists and occupational therapists can help a patient start off in an exercise program and then guide them through that rehabilitation program as they improve. Pain, there are ways of minimizing pain with early referral to physical therapy and occupational therapy for stretching exercises, low-level laser, etc. So I think it's up to the referring physician to question the patient about what symptoms they're having so that they refer the patient to the appropriate rehabilitation specialist. So that they can be returned to full health.
And lastly, lymphedema can result after removal of axillary nodes as part of breast cancer surgery. Are there any new developments can you tell our listeners about?
Yes, Eric. For several years now, there has been a surgery called a sentinel lymph node biopsy that really revolutionized the incidence of lymphedema in the country. That technique has been around since about 1998, 99. The chance of lymphedema for axillary surgery with that technique is only about 3%, whereas before that, when we removed all the nodes, the chance was about 25%. So that's a significant advance. In addition, we now have different ways of measuring the extremity for early detection of lymphedema. And one such method is a technique called bioimpedance analysis, or BIA. Bioimpedance is a way of measuring the electrical conductivity within the extremity, and that will vary depending on the fluid composition of the limb. So lymphedema happens when there is a backup or a damming up of lymph fluid or tissue fluid within the extremity. So the proportion of fluid within the extremity will increase relative to the other structures. And with bioimpedance analysis, which is a relatively simple technique where electrodes are placed on the extremity, one can detect extra fluid in the limb before it can be detected on physical exam or even before the patient is even aware of any symptoms. And we have that technique available at Mercy now, and it's really something that we are looking forward to using more so that we can begin treatment for asymptomatic lymphedema. The earlier we start treatment for lymphedema, the more reversible the process is. So I think this is really going to decrease the incidence of lymphedema even further because we are detecting it at such an early stage. And usually what we do is we try and get a baseline measurement of the bioimpedance before the surgery is done, and then about 6 weeks after surgery, and then at 3 months and 6 months post-op. And if there's any change in the bioimpedance, then we can refer the patient for what's called complex decongestive therapy, which is a combination of massage and wrapping techniques, which we know is extremely effective in combating lymphedema.
Well, certainly helpful information. If you would, before you go, tell our listeners where they can get more information and also to be in contact with you as well online.
Yes, Eric, I'd be happy to. My website is www.deanneradfordmd.com, which is DIANERADFORD.com. I'm on Facebook at Deanne Radford MD, and my Twitter is at Deanne Radford MD. So there are many ways in which patients can get in touch with me, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Certainly appreciate that. And in conclusion, any concluding thoughts on the topic that we have been covering today?
Well, I think just to leave our listeners with a few tips, I would recommend eating more vegetables and fruit, eating whole grains, by which I mean grains where you can actually see the grains, and get into the habits of practicing good sleep hygiene. Think about a cup of chamomile tea or lavender beside the bed. So there are various strategies to help with peaceful sleep.
Dr. Deanne, certainly appreciate your taking the time to be with us today and with some great, helpful, rich information for the listeners.
Thanks so much, Eric.
You're very welcome. We've been speaking with, once again, Dr. Deanne Radford. She is a breast surgical oncologist with Mercy Clinic, St. Louis Cancer and Breast Institute. She specializes in breast cancer and benign breast diseases. And once again, the website of reference is DeanneRadfordMD.com. And this has been Eric Michaels, and you've been listening to eHealth Radio and the Cancer Prevention Channel, a part of the eHealth Radio Network. And we do thank you for listening. And until next time, enjoy.
Thanks for tuning in to the eHealth Radio Network. For more information or to subscribe to this podcast, visit eHealthRadioNetwork.com.